Thank you. Good evening. Merry Christmas. It's good to see you tonight. Yes, I brought props. Okay. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but you came on a good night. No, it's good to be here. I appreciate Pastor Arrowwood inviting me, giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm honored by that. Not sure why he did that. Maybe he'll change his mind after tonight, but I'm glad that you're here. Now, I brought some of these with me. You recognize these, right? Christmas lights, all right? Does anybody get excited about Christmas lights here? A couple people. Yeah, I do too. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you have taken your families or are planning to take your families to go see some Christmas lights? Maybe you're going to drive through a neighborhood. Maybe you're going to go pay. How many of you actually paid to go see some Christmas lights? All right. Well, if you haven't yet, come see me after the service. You can pay to see these lights, all right? Let's talk. We are going to get to the Bible here in just a moment, all right? So have your Bibles ready. But let's talk about these Christmas lights just a little bit, since it's the Christmas season, all right? So I have some Christmas lights here, and you know, I think these are pretty neat. They're all tangled up in a mess, but these are pretty neat. How many of you would actually pay to see these lights right here as they are? I mean, why would you pay? You're looking at them now, right? So, Pastor Chris, what do you think of these lights? Are these some of the best lights you've ever seen? No? Why not? Ah, they're not lit. So think about that. The value in the lights is what they produce, right? If they're not producing anything, they're worthless. If I bought these and I plugged them in and they didn't work, I'd take them back because they're worthless. So the value in a light is in what it produces. Now, how do they produce light? We call them lights. They're light bulbs, right? How do they produce light? What do you have to do? You have to plug them in, right? They have to be plugged into a power source. All right, so lights need to be plugged into a power source. Lights have their value from what they produce. How about this? Lights. A light, whether it's a Christmas light or maybe a spotlight like we have here, lights cause a reaction of some type. Now, maybe if I were to pull out my phone, which has a flashlight on it, and I shined it right in your eyes, what would you do? Probably cover your eyes. I'd put my sunglasses on. Okay, if the light's too bright, we might put our sunglasses on. It makes it more tolerable. All right, I can tolerate that light a little more. So light causes us to react in some way. And maybe it's beautiful Christmas lights that cause us to have a feeling. It causes us to think of our families and Christmas and all of these things. But light causes a reaction. Lights need to be plugged into a power source. And the value of lights come in what that light produces. Keep those thoughts in mind. Let's turn, though, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. A familiar passage, and I'm sure you've heard. I think your pastor preached on this recently as well. But in Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to talk about the light. We're going to talk about the great light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2 is where we will start reading. Verse number 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Wow, that phrase just captivated me several weeks ago as I was reading through this passage. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be a burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to notice a couple things. Just as we draw our thoughts, I promise this will be brief. But notice, first of all, the disparity of the light. And this is was seen in verse number 2 there in that initial phrase. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Verse 2 talks about the great light. The great light being the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great light that has shined. But notice the disparity. Notice the contrast here. Verse number 2 talks about the people that walked in darkness. What does it mean to walk in darkness? Have you ever stumbled around your house in the dark? It's kind of a scary thing. You think you know where you're going, and then you stub your foot on something, you fall down, you hurt yourself. It's not a pleasant thing to walk around in the dark. Right? We like to have light, but notice verse number 2 talks about people that walked in darkness. And if you think about those who do not know Christ as their Savior, maybe before you were saved, before you came to Christ, you walked in darkness. That was the way. That was the way you lived your life, in darkness. But the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. There's the contrast there. There's a great light referring to God, referring to Jesus Christ. Also in verse number 2, it talks about they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. So not only were these people walking in darkness, not only was that just their way of life, but they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Now that word dwell has the idea of they were comfortable. That's where they lived. That's where their comfort zone was. They went off and did their thing. They went to work or whatever they did. They came back and they dwelled in the darkness. They were comfortable in that darkness. These people walked in darkness. They dwelled, they lived in darkness. But verse 2 also talks about that great light. A great light. Now, a great light, that's greater than any Christmas light you've ever seen. Jesus Christ is the great light. He is the true light. One more thought here as we think about the contrast between light and darkness. Here, at the end of verse 2, it says, upon them hath the light shined. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to give light, to give salvation, to give freedom from our sins. He came to us. That's what the name Emmanuel means, God with us. And so we see here that the light, the great light, shined. So the idea here with that light shined means that light came to those people, came to you, came to me. When we lived, we walked in darkness. God came and shined that light. He brought that to us. We didn't have to go to him. We didn't have to find God. We didn't have to try to seek him or figure it out. He came to us, and the light shined upon them in darkness. That's the disparity of the light. But let's talk a little bit about the description of the light. Notice as we move on here in verse number 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But notice this. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now this is referring back to the light, to the great light. All right? We may have a flashlight that runs on batteries, and when that power source dies, the light goes out. But the great light, Jesus Christ, his light will never go out. It's a burning fuel of fire. So it's constantly being fueled by, with power, with light. This light will never go out. Verse number 6, familiar verse to all of us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Description of Jesus Christ. Talks about his humanity. He was very human-like, all right, in these first couple descriptions of being a child, being a son, the government upon his shoulder, meaning he would have power. He would uphold the government by his power and by his might. His name would be called Wonderful Counselor. So, description of the light, our God, he's marvelous, is he not? Our God is marvelous. The light that has shined in the darkness is a marvelous light. Number two, we see that he is mighty God. It is a mighty light. He uses that word there, the name, the mighty God. One of the commentaries that are read said the word used for mighty God was God Elohim, but the word Gibor, which means God, our hero. Is he not our hero? God, the mighty God, shine that light on us. He's our hero. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who has the power to save me from my sin. That's that great light. But notice also, he's meek. Verse number six. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's meek and mild and lowly, and he came and he was born in a lowly manger, yet he was God. He was marvelous. He was mighty God, and yet he is meek. He is the Prince of Peace. Well, this is the description of the light. But we're not here just to talk about the light, because I believe there is a duty that all of us had. We've talked about the disparity of the light. We've talked about the description of the light. But let's talk about our duty, because there is a duty, I believe, because of the light that we've been shown. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Thinking about our duty. Now, we're going to drop into the ministry of John the Baptist. And I believe the ministry that John the Baptist have is really the same ministry that we have as Christians, right? If we have come to God, if we have been saved, if we've repented of our sins, and God has shined his light upon us and delivered us from darkness, I believe we have a duty. Let's look at 3 points here briefly. In John chapter 1, verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let's talk about our duty, the duty that we have because of the light. Notice first, John. He's described here in verse number 7. It says, and he came for a witness. Now think about, what is a witness? A witness is someone who has experienced something. They were in a situation, they were there firsthand. Maybe it happened to them, or they directly saw what happened. That's a witness. And you know, our first duty is that we need to experience God. I don't like using that word, experience. We need to come to the light. Have you been saved? Have you been plugged into the power source? That's our first duty, to be a witness. Notice, though, it's more than just having that experience, more than just having a relationship with God, but it describes John the Baptist here in verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. John's responsibility and our responsibility as Christians is to bear the witness of that light to others around us. Are we doing that? How do we do that? Well, we need to talk about, we need to tell people what God has done, what that light that shined upon us, what God did in our lives. We need to be faithful to tell others about that. We need to be bearing witness. We need to be going and telling others. What good would it do for us to have the cure to something like cancer and we keep it to ourselves. Not good at all. We need to share that. We need to be willing. It's our duty. It's our duty to be a witness, to bear witness to others. Notice here, thirdly, verse number 9, that was the true light. The true light. We need to be bringing God's word, God's love, God's desire for salvation to all around us. We need to be telling the truth about that. We don't water it down. It doesn't mean that we stay away from the controversial parts of the Bible, but we need to tell the whole truth because God is light, and that is the true light. You know, light's not an easy thing sometimes to deal with. You think in a spiritual sense. At some point, if you've been saved, you were confronted with your sin problem. You were confronted with that. That was not a pleasant thing, I'm sure. But at the same time, we see God's love and God's forgiveness for sins granted to us as well. There's a confrontation that has to happen. When we go out and we witness to people and we share the light, it's a bit of a confrontation. But we need to speak the truth. But we need to speak it in love as well. So our duty toward the light, we need to come to the light. We need to be saved. We need to carry forth the light, and we need to speak the whole truth. So let me ask you, how have you been affected by the great light? How has that affected you? You know, I had some sunglasses here. You know, a lot of people hear the word of God, and they take out their spiritual sunglasses, and okay, that's better. I can tolerate this. I hope we haven't done that. Hope you don't do that as a Christian. The light of the gospel demands a response. How have you been affected by the light? Have you come to the great light? Are you plugged into the power source? And lastly, what type of light are you producing? You know, the light's value, we talked about that. The value of a light is really in what it produces. Are you producing? Are you shining forth the light that God has given to you? Are we doing those things? My hope, my challenge to you this Christmas, every time you see the Christmas lights, be reminded. Speak to others. Tell them of the great light that shined in darkness. Let God use you this Christmas, every time you see the light. Thank you, Pastor Chris.